hot-footing it to the infirmary after floor avoidance fail.
Sinks in the pink as engineers boost their capacity.
Too hot, too messy, week 42 update.
Celebrity chef's smoothie misadventure with Thargoid glaive power.
Thargoid-powered smoothie machine sparks controversy and protests.
Federal presidential candidates getting the hang of this campaigning.
Atrus is back with yet more Thargoid news for the week.
And I'll be rounding off with a cursory glance at Hutton's systems.
First up in today's news, we bring you a cautionary tale that combines childhood nostalgia, hazardous playtime, and a dash of common sense. It's time for the reminder. Please, for the love of all that's sane and intact, do not play the game The Floor is Lava with real lava. Now, we've all played the innocent childhood game where you imagine the floor transforming into a bubbling pool of molten lava, and your only chance of survival is to gracefully navigate the room by leaping from one safe spot to another. It's a game that stirs our imaginations and tests our agility, but there's an important distinction to be made. The floor in that game is not made of actual lava. Believe it or not, there have been reports from Nurse Wyeth over at the Hutton Infirmary of a few, one, intrepid, or perhaps misguided soul, attempting to recreate this childhood game using real lava. Yes, you read that correctly. L-A-V-A. The sizzling, scorching, rock-melting substance that has no business being anywhere near your living room or any other place where humans typically reside. So, let's take a moment to reflect on the numerous reasons why this is a phenomenally terrible idea, shall we?
Reason one. Lava is hot. Like, really, really hot.
Yes, in case you missed the memo, lava is molten rock spewed forth from a volcano. It reaches temperatures that could rival the surface of the sun. Okay, maybe not that hot, but you get the point. Touching real lava would result in immediate agonizing pain, and at best the kind of injury that would make you the subject of cautionary campfire tales and news articles.
Reason two. Lava does not respect carpeting or furniture.
Now, here at Hutton, we are not claiming to be interior design experts, but I'm fairly certain that your lovely Persian rug or plush recliner was not designed to withstand the intense heat and destructive power of molten rock. The resulting mess would not only ruin your furniture, but likely result in the kind of insurance claim that makes insurance agents cringe and reconsider their life choices.
Reason three. Lava is not a respecter of personal safety.
Imagine, if you will, leaping from your coffee table to your couch, the exhilaration of narrowly escaping the sizzling embrace of the lava beneath your feet. Now replace that imaginary lava with the real thing. Suddenly, that leap of faith transforms into a leap of goodbye, cruel world, as you hurtle towards a certain fiery demise. Not exactly the picture of fun and games, is it?
Reason four. Lava-proof hazmat suits are hard to find and probably don't exist.
Let's say, for argument's sake, that you're a die-hard thrill-seeker who is fully committed to the idea of playing The Floor is Lava with the real deal. Your first step, no pun intended, would be to locate a lava-proof hazmat suit. Spoiler alert, it doesn't exist. Not only would you be risking life and limb, but you'd also be risking a considerable dent in your bank account as you futilely search for protective gear that cannot protect you from certain doom. All in all, and even with the benefit of zero gravity at Hutton Orbital, meaning you could potentially sail serenely over the lava that you've somehow managed to pour all over the floor, or maybe just melt using a portable beam laser, the chance of you careening off a piece of scenery and putting a foot down to steady yourself is quite high. In potentially unrelated news, if anyone's in the market for a piece of modern art that in rock form resembles a lounge carpet with a footprint right in the middle of it, they should write to one Sandrine, care of Amelia Hawke, Hutton Orbital, in orbit around Eden, Proxima Centauri, somewhere near Sol. We're reliably informed that it has now cooled, but you'll need to bring your own lifting gear and maybe an arc cutter to hack the doorway into the right shape. Oh, and Nurse Wyeth was asking whether anyone could bring a shipment of cooling lotion and bandages to the station, as all of hers have been used up.
Pilots throughout the galaxy breathed a sigh of relief just over a week ago when galactic engineers lifted their embargo on their cunning caustic heat sink capacity upgrades and once again allowed commanders to soak up the incoming sticky goo that little bit more for each foray into the Thargoid maelstroms. With pilots heading deeper and deeper into the maelstroms and indeed over recent weeks taking their space selfie stick, the spelfie stick, right to the Titans at the heart, yet more protection was needed against the ongoing caustic onslaught, with barrages of missiles being fired from Titans as well as passing glaives who appear to have an endless supply of sticky green goo to fling in our direction. Anything that lets a pilot live long enough to experience the big Tesla coil blast of doom from the Titan is a good thing. Whilst, like the caustic clouds, the likelihood of surviving one of these is negligible, it has given galactic streamers and astrophotographers some of the most stunning pictures to date. Never has your impending doom looked quite as pretty. While some commanders may have been visiting Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus his daughters, latest venture into their tartan for your ship emporium over in Lave to be able to dress up like a Thargoid to avoid detection, the caustic sinks are a proven way to stem the incoming corrosion on your ship. Comprising a big bucket and computer-powered squeegee combo, as well as a nice coiled meta-alloy elastic band to yeet the bucket as far away as possible, the engineering upgrade means you get one more bucket than normal, giving you those precious extra few minutes. There are rumours that, hot on the heels of the Thargoid Wave Avoiding Suppression Kit, the bucket and squeegee upgrade for your caustic sinks, there's a new item coming. A scanner that spreads wide enough to work out what the blazes the Titans have made of. They are very big. And of course, with a refresh rate fast enough to track and scan a passing glaive before it turns you into a big pile of space scrap. Scrap, not crap. Whether we're getting a big spoon for the custard pot at the centre or any other engineered wizardry remains to be seen. But for the time being, you just have to be content with going, wow, at your nearest Titan.
After 42 weeks or 9-ish months, too hot, too messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver a Hutton mug and Centauri Megagin to all the stations of the galaxy has achieved over 75,000 deliveries. At 1,400 for the second week in a row, deliveries have been up for a month after the previous low, and the four-week average is up by 110 to 1,344 deliveries a week. Again, no new commanders have joined the effort this week, leaving the numbers signed up at 288 commanders, representing 95 squadrons. Hutton still has the largest contingent, and now with 92 commanders who have delivered 39,500 mugs, more than half the total. And thanks go to all the other squadrons taking part and delivering the other almost half. The Buckyball Racing Club are still in second place with over 4,400, the Winged Azars are holding third with over 3,000, and the Paladins are in fourth with 1,800. The Burpit are 300 behind them in fifth, and the Anti-Xeno Initiative were closing fast on the Burrs, only 150 behind them, but then the One Commander, the Order of the 12th, has overtaken them into sixth. The Soteria Corps are eighth, and the Undead are ninth, concluding the 1,000 Club. Will Bandicut's mug win spur them on to make Jedi Inc. a new member next week? Him, the one with no life, is still leading the deliveries table with almost 10,500 mugs delivered. Some say that he still thinks the first 10,000 mugs will be the hardest. Waller81 is second with almost 9,000 deliveries, ahead of Nem in third with over 5,700, with Shay Blackwood in fourth place with almost 4,400, ahead of Infinite Dreamer in fifth with almost 2,800. Sinister Hedgehog is joint ninth after catching the stationary for months Mouse 8287, who was previously third when they mysteriously ceased deliveries. But they in turn are being chased hard by Talky Mouse, no relation I'm reliably informed, in 11th, who is trailing them by only 30 mugs. High Job has been chucking them out this week like a hyperactive Hermes driver and will be the one to watch in future. The 1000 Club still has 13 members. Of course, we know all this because it's tracked live in the Too Hot, Too Messy event in the Helper. In addition to trying to impress the Vista Genoics lady with your mugging prowess, and let's face it, she's only really interested in your concha labiata, there's a chance to win a real-world handler to Georgie Angle dishwasher-safe self-heating hot mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in the weekly Thursday to Thursday period will be entered into the next week's draw to win a real hot mug, unless, of course, you already have one. 41 lucky commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commanders table. Last week's winner was The Burke, so keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit after the news. If you had delivered 10 mugs and gin in every week since the start 9 months ago, you'd have racked up at least 420 deliveries. And only 30, or just 1 in 10 of signed up commanders, have managed this. If you haven't, why not give it a try and share the burden? In order to join in the fun, you'll need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, and then you can sign up and your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Entarius's non-GMO grass-fed quasi-sentient replicant hamsters, which come with a limited lifespan but real lab-grown fur.
In a bizarre and ambitious culinary experiment gone wrong, the renowned galactic celebrity chef, Chef Gordon Slamsay, known for his fiery temper and meat hammer wit, recently attempted to create the ultimate smoothie machine powered by the otherworldly technology of the Thargoid Glaive. Let's just say that the results were interesting. Chef, with his signature meta alloy apron and a mischievous gleam in his eyes, had the audacious idea of harnessing the raw power of the Thargoid Glaive to create a gargantuan smoothie machine capable of blending anything in its path. He believed that infusing the smoothies with a touch of extraterrestrial energy would give them an otherworldly taste that would tantalize even the most discerning palates. Equipped with his trusted spatula and a team of wide-eyed assistants, Chef Slamsay embarked on his plan. After enlisting a number of the more thrill-seeking pilots of the Anti-Xeno Initiative, a giant space speed trap, and a big butterfly net, they managed to capture an intact glaive from the area around the Oya Maelstrom. It escaped after one lightning attack melted the handle, but the pilots were able to pin it to the ground using a number of Type 7s rigged with Thargoid-proof bullhorns. This mission completed with little loss of life and only a few rebuys, the Thargoid Glaive was carefully integrated into the meta-alloy protected machinery in orbit around a nearby planet. Sparks flew, and the contraption roared to life with an ominous hum. The grand unveiling of the Thargoid Glaive-powered giant smoothie machine drew a crowd of food enthusiasts and skeptics alike. The excitement in the air was palpable, mingling with the scent of freshly picked fruits, vegetables, and a hint of caustic green. Little did the spectators know that they were about to witness a spectacle that would forever be etched into their gastronomic memories. Chef Slamsay, with his flair for the dramatic, approached the smoothie machine in his fully prepared and rather ostentatious mamba. At his command, a passing Type 9 tossed an assortment of vibrant fruits into the maw of the contraption. The Thargoid Glaive's energy crackled, surged, and span, lending an eerie glow to the proceedings. With a flick of a switch, the giant blades turned the innocent fruits into a swirling vortex of pulpy chaos, accompanied by some very angry Thargoid noises. Or maybe their equivalent of om nom 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 nom. However, the combination of Thargoid glaive power and the sheer force of the machine proved to be too much for the unsuspecting fruits. Pineapples were launched into orbit, strawberries ricocheted off the walls, and banana-shaped dents appeared in the walls of the gargantuan glaive-powered smoothie machine. The chaos was akin to a fruit-based fireworks display gone awry. To make matters worse, Chef Slamsy's assistants were caught in the crossfire. One poor soul in an attempt to corral an errant orange found himself spinning like a human smoothie within the machine. The resulting concoction became known as the Blender Blast-Off Special, a smoothie that left customers questioning their life choices and contemplating the meaning of centrifugal force. Amidst the chaos, Chef Slamsy remained surprisingly composed. With a hearty laugh and a twinkle in his eye, he proclaimed, "Well, that's what you call blending with flair." His irreverent humour did little to alleviate the sticky mess that now covered the machine and most of the surrounding space, mainly as the lid wasn't on properly. But it certainly lightened the mood. Despite the smoothie machine disaster, Chef Slamsy remains undeterred. Rumour has it that he is already devising a new culinary contraption involving Thargoid sensor technology and a whole lot of spices. Only time will tell if the gastronomic marvels or mishaps await us in his relentless pursuit of culinary excellence. Oh, and if anyone knows where in the galaxy he managed to find those one-ton bananas, the Galnet Rares Digest would love to hear about it. So, if you ever find yourself in the vicinity of Chef Slamsy's kitchen, buckle up and prepare for a culinary adventure like no other. Just be sure to keep a safe distance from any Thargoid-powered machinery, unless you're willing to risk being blended into a smoothie of intergalactic proportions. Bon appetit!
Breaking news! In the wake of Pottymouth's Chef Slamsy's ill-fated Thargoid glaive-powered smoothie machine experiment, the galactic culinary community has found itself embroiled in a heated debate over the ethical implications of harnessing Thargoid technology for gastronomic endeavours. As expected, the pro-Thargoid lovers vehemently voiced their objections, leading to a series of protests and even an audacious attack on the colossal smoothie contraption. Proclaiming that Thargoids are friends, not ingredients, passionate activists, clad in vibrant Save the Thargoids t-shirts, took to the space lanes to protest against Chef Slamsy's brazen use of Thargoid technology in the pursuit of culinary innovation. Chanting slogans and brandishing signs that read, "Hands off our Thargoids," and "Thargoids deserve respect, not to be blended." The protesters sought to raise awareness about the potential harm inflicted upon these enigmatic extraterrestrial beings. While the protests were mostly peaceful, there were a few incidents where things had got a bit out of hand. In a particularly daring act of defiance, a group of activists infiltrated Chef Slamsy's kitchen fortress armed with nothing but determination and caustic resistance suits. They managed to sneak past the kitchen staff, bypass security systems, and make their way to the gargantuan smoothie machine. Unleashing their fury, activists unleashed a barrage of missiles and plasma attacks upon the machine, hoping to disable it and save the Thargoids from further exploitation. The resulting chaos resembled a scene from an intergalactic action movie, with smoothie ingredients and Thargoid technology colliding in a whirlwind of destruction. Despite their violent efforts, the protesters were eventually apprehended by security personnel and escorted to the nearest penitentiary. Chef Slamsy, undeterred by the commotion, stood defiantly amid the chaos, an unyielding spatula in hand, ready to defend his Thargoid-infused culinary vision. He may have used some rather choice language, which isn't suitable for broadcast before or even during the watershed, but may have alluded to the dodgy parentage of the protesters and what they can do with his giant space banana without lube. The incident triggered a broader conversation within the galactic community about the ethical treatment of Thargoids and the boundaries of culinary exploration. Supporters of Chef Slamsy argued that the Thargoid lave-powered smoothie machine was an artistic expression of culinary innovation, pushing the boundaries of flavour and texture in unimaginable ways. On the other hand, critics maintained that Thargoids should be revered, not consumed, as they represent an important and mysterious element of the galaxy's ecosystem. They insisted that alternative methods should be explored to appreciate Thargoids, such as promoting interspecies communication and scientific study. The Thargoid-powered smoothie machine controversy has left the culinary world divided. Some establishments have embraced the daring fusion of Thargoid technology and gastronomy, offering dishes like Xeno-Delight Smoothie Surprise or alien-infusion fruit blast on their menus. Others, however, have taken a firm stance against such practices, vowing to maintain a Thargoid-friendly environment and promote conservation efforts. As the debate rages on, one thing is certain. The Thargoid-powered smoothie machine has sparked more than just controversy. It has ignited a fierce passion for protecting these enigmatic beings. Whether they're to be loved, feared, or sipped through a straw, the fate of the Thargoids rests in the delicate balance between culinary exploration and ethical considerations. In the end, the galactic culinary community must navigate this complex terrain, seeking harmony between gastronomic innovation and respecting the wonders of the universe. Perhaps a compromise can be reached, where Thargoid-friendly ingredients and cooking techniques coexist with the culinary visionaries.
Federal presidential candidates appear to be getting the hang of this campaigning lark this week. Galnet News has been reporting that they've been appealing to federal voters, which is nice, given the fact that the only votes that count are indeed from federal citizens, as long as they bring their ID. Oh, and as long as they're not mad. Unless they're the president, in which case that's okay. Or under the age of 100, and therefore not likely to vote for the current president. Or have ever written anything disparaging about Hudson. Or ever hit like on a photo of the opposition candidates. Or own a Hutton mug. But everyone apart from them can vote. As long as they serve in the military. Anyway, the candidates are appealing to them. A number of them had to do a galactic facepalm as they spent a small fortune in Void Opal's leafleting Imperial citizens. And one had apparently written to the Alliance. That letter got lost in the post as everyone's forgotten where the Alliance actually are. But at least one candidate has decided to pin his candidacy for president on a single issue. In his case, he's declared war on everyone's favourite federal daytime cartoon animal, Alan the Aardvark, for failing to uphold the federal values of bigotry, xenophobia and governmental interference. One particular episode, where Alan gives an Imperial ant a corner of his cheese sandwich, is said to have triggered the candidate's ire, as according to him, the only good bug is a dead bug. Others have been practicing those age-old federal campaign trail tricks of kissing babies, licking windows, denying that they've got any skeletons in their closets, and of course, taking pot shots at their fellow candidates. Federal security services have had to remind them that yeeting live mines instead of rotten fruit at your opposition is not acceptable, mainly as it damages nearby buildings and can't be washed off with a power spray. Hudson, meanwhile, is taking a completely different tack. He has announced that the elections are to be postponed while the special military operation against the Thargoids is ongoing. And no, he doesn't know when it will end, but at the current rate, he could be keeping that seat warm for a good while longer. Unless we work out how to enter the Titan Custard Pot, trademark the Pink Wafer, or stick a bung in it long enough to stop more interceptors spawning. Sick of the power play portrait of Hudson? I'm afraid you'll have to put up with it a little while longer. But we do have an ample supply of digital marker pens, so you can draw glasses and a moustache on his face in your own cockpit.
Good evening, truckers. Atrus 5060 reporting in with the latest updates on the Thargoid War. Mode Alliance managed to fully contain the spread of Thargoids in Tyrannus, and Aegis begins a very personal campaign to let us know of a new module to come. How exciting. Starting off tonight's update, Aegis saw fit to send all commanders a very personalised message saying they would atone for the mistakes of the past. That was very naughty, wasn't it? And focus more as a scientific organisation first. How lovely. And a military operation second. Alongside this very heartfelt message was the news that they're also developing a new version of Xeno's scanner. Probably goes beep, which recently saw an upgrade in scan range a while back when Professor Palin, he's lovely, you know, makes wonderful cucumber sandwiches, realised he could just increase the power to it to make it read Thargoid ships from 2 kilometres instead of the old 500-metre limit. This new module will be specifically designed around scanning the Thargoid Titans. They're ever so big in the heart of the maelstroms, with hopes that it'll reveal some sort of weakness that will give us an edge to finally rid ourselves of these maelstroms once and for all. The broader AX community, or is that the AX community? Anyway, they saw a big week of victories with 55, yes, count them all, 55 systems across all the maelstroms defended from the Thargoids. Yay. The Oya battle group continues to impress every week as they quickly clear any threats and manage to even retake Thargoid control systems. Everyone give a little cheer. Hackswing had a very good week alongside his allies in the Mode Alliance, or is that M-O-D-E, clearing 7 systems of Thargoid threat near the Tyrannus Maelstrom. We successfully defended the Peini, Leruju, Imetu, Awara, 63 Eridani, Namayu, HR-1812, and Senosidi systems, leaving Tyrannus with no active invasions this week. This run of success has boosted morale amongst the members of MODE, or M-O-D-E, whichever, it's in capital letters anyway, and we hope to continue this good run near the Cocky Joe Maelstrom, where M-O-D-E, or MODE, will start this week's efforts. Good job. Hackswing, your orders for this week will be to defend Col 285, Sector AF-EB13-5. I'll give you time to get a pen. Yeah, there you go. Col 285, Sector AF-EB13-5 and Col 285, Sector YTF-B12-3 from Thargoid Invasion. We will then move on to any populated alert systems in the area, and following those, we're then going to move back to the Tyrannus Maelstrom to clear any remaining alerts there. I hope you were paying attention. Col 285 Sector AF-EB13-5 Bertha. I'm going to call it Bertha. Only has planetary bases, so we breathe a little easier knowing there'll be no Thargon swarms to contend with. That's lovely, isn't it? However, we will have to watch out for those nasty glaives and maybe that chef fella. Prep your ships and see you out there, truckers, for the mug.
7 systems are proving to be problem children this week, but the board, known as the Master Display Threat Situation Control Monitoring Panel for short, remains fairly clear with only 1 active adverse state and none pending. More on those stories coming up. Just dipping below 40% 2 weeks ago, Ross 671 continued its gradual descent with a full-on freefall plummet through the 30s to 29, where it came to a shuddering halt last week and where it has remained since. Will it continue to fall? Who knows? Tune in next week to find out. A civil war has just started, which is locking up 30% of system influence. So leave that to resolve itself before going in there next week to boost Hutton's fortunes. Previous low system on the pole, Stein 2051, benefited from a brief period of boosting, reaching 36, but has since fallen back to 30, just a point above Ross 671. A war between two factions will take until the weekend to play out, locking up a third of system influence. After a good couple of weeks, almost lifting out of the zone of concern, 36 off Yugi is still recovering from a terrorist attack, falling back to 32, and with the Sol Workers' Party only 7 points behind, it's a good time to get in and boost Alvin's second newest system. Hill Parsai continues its doldrum dwelling, still sitting on 33, having not moved at all for 2 weeks. The war is due to finish imminently, so jump in there and boost influence. LP525-39, which lost another point in addition to 2 points last week, ended up on 34. Due to faction squabbling, only 10% of the system's influence is available to exploit, so leave it until it dies down there. Also not moving is the notoriously hard-to-move Epsilon Indy, which also lost a point, leaving it on 36. The nearest faction is more than 20 points behind, so there's no immediate concern. Notice how we don't talk about Barnard Star much these days. Well, now we do, as it was living the high life on 42, but lost 5 points in the week to drop it back into familiar territory. PSPF-LF2 is under terrorist attack, so if you want to re-equip your non-AX weapons for a while, jump in there and shoot something that spurts red goo instead of green. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have 4 systems above 60%, and priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, truck it 0.14 light years to boost 36 off Yuki. If you want to shoot something, shoot some terrorists in PSPF-LF2.